on here?
All right. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'm going to, beginning today and next week as well, at maybe not in the Sunday school hour, we'll have Pastor Humphrey teaching again in the Sunday school hour next Sunday, but maybe in the afternoon service, we're going to talk about and remind ourselves again from the Word of God concerning faith promise giving and faith promise missions. We are at the end of our faith promise year right now, and I gave you last week those faith promise numbers, and praise the Lord, we are over 100% of what our promised goal was, and nearly $70,000 given this year towards missions. Praise the Lord for that. And we're going to be handing out new Faith Promise cards in the next week or two. But before we do that, I want us to consider again this subject of giving by faith and promising to the Lord. And look in the Scriptures here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 15 and 16 are going to be our text verses for this morning. The Bible says, "Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand." Paul here commending the church and talking to the church in Corinth, and he says to them, when your faith is increased, will be enlarged and be able to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. I want to talk to you this morning about faith, promises, and missions. Let's pray and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless teaching hour this morning, and Lord, that you would work in our hearts to increase our faith. Lord, that you would work in our hearts to have a heart for the lost of this world, and Father, for commission from Christ to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and Lord, all the different areas that it encompasses, and Lord, the part that we can play in the role of missions and preaching the gospel to every creature. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage the saints of God today with these truths. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We know, according to Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 6, that without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. The Bible says, "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." The first part of that verse tells us, really, what is required in order to please the Lord? Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. And at the heart of everything spiritual is this issue of faith. The Christian life begins in faith. The Christian life is lived in faith, and the Christian life ends in faith. We have the confident expectation, our hope of our future in the Lord, but it's one that is believed by faith. At the heart of everything spiritual is this issue of faith, and the whole plan of God as it relates to humankind is saturated with the need for faith. Everything that has anything to do with man's relationship with God has to have faith as its focus. Without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. And so any successful, if you want to call it that, spiritual endeavor has to have faith as its core. And I said already that we're going to talk today about faith, promises, and missions. There are several biblical principles in God's Word that add up to what we would call faith, promise, missions, giving. First of all, I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. I just want you to see the verse with me. I read it for you already, but I want you to put your eyes on it. The first principle to look at this morning, when it comes to this issue of faith, promises, and missions, is is we need to understand that God desires that we live by faith. As His children, God desires that we live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. What is faith? Well, a simple definition or understanding of faith is, to put it in, you know, its basic terms, is simply believing God's word and then doing it. And the doing is the proof of the fact that we actually believe. Faith is believing God's word and doing it. God desires that we live by faith. This is God's ideal plan for mankind. Go to Romans chapter 1 with me. Romans chapter 1. Verse 16, we know verse 16 very well, where the Apostle Paul proclaims that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Look at verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." This is God's ideal plan, that the saint of God walks and lives in faith. Our life is to be lived in faith. This is God's desire. A lack of faith or unbelief is something that actually takes us away from God. The nation of Israel is a perfect example of that. Go back to Hebrews, but look at Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, in verse 12, the writer of Hebrews states here, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." This is a reference here in context, a reference to the nation of Israel. They are a perfect example of how a lack of faith and not believing the Lord is something that causes us to depart from the living God. The nation of Israel, over and over and over again, because of their unbelief, because of not believing God, not walking in faith, they departed from God. They started worshiping idols. They experienced the judgment of God. Finally, in their despair, they cry out to God in repentance, and God restores them again, only to at some point not believe the Lord and experience that cycle all over again. A lack of faith or unbelief takes us away from God, and a lack of faith in the Christian life is something that actually tries the patience of the Lord. Note Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 17. Look over there with me, Matthew 17. Jesus said in Matthew 17, in verse 17, follow along there, "Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." Note Jesus' words here. Faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I suffer you? We have no reason to ever not live life in faith. The Lord has never failed. The Lord has always kept every one of His promises. And for the saint of God to not live and walk in faith is not fulfilling God's plan for our life. It's something that actually draws us away from the Lord. And it tries the patience of the Lord, and eventually it leads to a fall in life. The nation of Israel was that example. Again, look over in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4 and verse 11 says, "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." It leads to a fall in life, and I think there's probably tragic story after tragic story of people who have all kinds of opportunity in a good New Testament Baptist church, even born-again people who somehow got off track in life, and they're not living and walking by faith. They're trusting in their own abilities, trusting in their own resources, trusting in whatever, and end up experiencing calamity in their life and end up completely out of the will of God. God desires that we live by faith. And faith is God's ideal plan. Unbelief or a lack of faith takes us away from the Lord. But faith is something that when we walk and live by faith, faith is something that God honors and something that God blesses. The Word of God is full of instruction for us and full of truth concerning what we benefit when we live and walk by faith. Look in Psalm 32, for example. Psalm 32. Psalm 32 and verse 10, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. What do we find here as a result of living and walking by faith, trusting in the Lord? Hey, we're surrounded by God's mercy. The end of that verse says, mercy shall compass him about to the one that trusts in the Lord. We experience God's provision in our life. Faith is something that God honors and God blesses. In Psalm 34, verse 22, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servant, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. We experience God's provision when we live and walk by faith. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 promises us the peace of God when we trust in the Lord. Isaiah 26, 3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Here's the ticket. Because he trusteth in thee. We find stability in life. And this is a blessing of God when we walk by faith. Psalm 37 in verse 3 states, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Here's stability from trusting in the Lord. Verse 5 of this same psalm says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. We can experience even success in the Lord, and we can know security simply because of trusting in the Lord. And if we go back to our text this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we've just looked at several different things here regarding the Christian life and a life of faith and how God desires that we live by faith. In our text, the principle that emerges here is that the work of missions is going to be done successfully when it's done by faith, and that includes from going all the way to giving. In verse 15, Paul says, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. Here is missions endeavors at work. And the Apostle Paul says, when your faith is increased, we're going to be able to do the work of missions successfully, preaching the gospel in the regions beyond. So the work of missions is going to be done when it's done by faith, from going to giving, all done in faith. And God desires that we live and that we walk by faith. And there's a direct connection here that's stated between this church's faith related to their giving and the gospel being able to move forward in the regions beyond. So So when it comes to our giving, it needs to be done in faith. And I want you to note three principles regarding giving here. First of all, remarkable giving, that's notable, remarkable giving demonstrates full surrender and trust in the Lord. For us to be able to give and to give and give remarkably, it demonstrates our trust and our surrender to God. In chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, note this, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2, let's go back to verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Paul says, I want you to know about the grace of God that was bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. That would have been Philippi and Berea and so on. And he says in verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Paul's talking about the offering that was taken up for the poor saints of Judea. And he's talking about how the churches of Macedonia, because of the grace of God, they were able to give, and they were able to give remarkably. Even in their deep poverty, they abounded unto the riches of their liberality. And they were praying us. They were begging. Paul says they were begging us, take this offering, what we're giving. And we don't have much, but we're giving what we have and beyond our power even, because of the grace of God. Take it and give it to those poor saints. And then Paul says, the reason they were able to do that is because they gave themselves first unto the Lord. And he states here, they were able to give to their ability. That's the thing that's easy to give. But then he says they were able to give beyond their ability. That's the hard thing to give. But either way, it demonstrated surrender to the Lord and trust in the Lord, even in their deep poverty, because of the grace of God. What heart these people demonstrated. Trusting in the Lord to provide and meet their need. So remarkable giving demonstrates full surrender and trust in the Lord. And you know, when it comes to missions giving, sometimes people are really, really stingy. And you know, I got a tithe, and it's a pain to give the tithe. And every time I have to write that check or put that cash in the offering, it's like, oh, but I know I have to do this. But they wouldn't even think about participating and giving to missions. And partly the reason is because they consider what they're giving, they consider it their own, as if I earned this, as if I was the one who manufactured this, and so on, and not giving God the glory, for that all that I have is the Lord's anyway, and I gladly give it back to Him. Or how in the world am I going to meet these needs that I see coming if I give this? Not trusting in the Lord to provide. These people gave to their ability that which was easy to give, and beyond their ability, beyond their means, they were able to give because of the grace of God, because they trusted in the Lord. The first principle regarding giving is that remarkable giving demonstrates surrender and trust in God. But number two, blessed giving is based on generosity and cheerfulness. Because 2 Corinthians 9, in verse 6, tells us, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Again, it's still talking about that offering that was taken up for the saints in Judea, but he says here, he states here that don't give grudgingly or give of necessity. Why? Because God loveth a cheerful giver. Blessed giving is based upon generosity. You sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. But you, when you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. And the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And it ought to be a blessing. It ought to be a blessing and a joy in our heart to be able to participate in the work of the Lord when it comes to our giving. The Lord has blessed us bountifully, and God is merciful and gracious to us. And listen, none of us lack in anything. And if we understand where our blessings come from, that they come from the Lord, and actually all it belongs to the Lord anyway, why in the world, and what God has done for me, why in the world would I not want to bless His heart and give back to Him? But then the third principle is this: consistent giving will always have faith at its core. We talked about remarkable giving, that's demonstrating full surrender to the Lord. Blessed giving is based on generosity and cheerfulness, but consistent giving is always going to have faith as its core. In chapter 9 here in verse 8, Paul says to the church, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God." Here, the statement is the same one that ministers the seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food. God is the one who's at the core of all of that. God is the one who actually does all of that. And listen, the New Testament saints actually believe these principles. And we're able to consistently, remarkably give because faith in the Lord was the core. God will provide so I can give. And God will multiply. And as God multiplies and provides, then I can give, and I can give more. Look with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Jesus says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again." He talks about how our giving is blessed of the Lord when we give with the right heart. The principle, the promise is, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." God is going to multiply. And I rejoice when I hear stories of people who say, "You know what, we're practicing faith in our giving. And we've asked the Lord to put a number on our heart, and this is what we're going to commit to give to God this year in missions and in faith promise. We're going to trust the Lord to provide that." And so we go about exercising faith in the Lord and trusting God with what He's laid on our heart, and, and to hear them testify of how over and over again the Lord abundantly blessed in remarkable ways, ways that they didn't even think were possible or didn't expect, and they were, and all of a sudden they were able to find that they had and were able to give beyond even what they were expecting because God was giving back and multiplying so they could keep on giving. I rejoice when I hear stories like that and how they testified that because of that their faith is increased. The Lord really does keep His word and His promise. Let me ask you the question. How many here, first of all, let me say this, praise the Lord for being over 100% of our promise this last year. That is a blessing beyond measure. But the Lord still wants our faith to be increased. And so praise the Lord for faithful giving. But let me ask this question. How many consistently, at least every month, consistently give to missions? I look at giving statements at the end of the year, but I don't pay attention to necessarily who and what and how much people are giving. You know what? That's really between you and the Lord. But I do know this. I do know this. God doesn't want, and it's not really okay with the Lord, for His people to be members of a scriptural New Testament church and to not faithfully participate in the work of the Lord. Giving is part of that. How many faithfully, consistently, at least monthly, give to missions? Are you participating? Are you living and walking by faith? Faith is a key element in all Christian living and should be considered as an essential part of giving to missions. What is faith promise? Well, in reference to our missions program, it's the faithful, already tithing saint of God simply trusting the Lord to provide so he or she can give an offering to missions. That's what it is. The already tithing, faithful saint of God trusting the Lord to provide so that I can give towards missions. Paul said to the church in Corinth, when your faith is increased, we'll be able to be enlarged and to preach the gospel in the regions beyond. There's a direct connection between the church's faith related to giving and the gospel being able to move forward in the regions beyond. When our faith is increased, what more could God allow us, enable us to do? More missionaries to support, evangelists to support? Love offerings, special needs that may come up. God knows what those things are. I think it's a tremendous encouragement and a tremendous blessing when we hear of a need that an evangelist has that on the mission field, and all of a sudden we've got the ability to help meet that need. We've got the ability to write a check and say, here, let us be a blessing. Let us fill that need. The Lord has blessed us. We've given towards missions, and we have this ability. And that enables that evangelist to be able to more effectively preach the gospel. What a blessing. Amen? I love that. A lot of churches can't do that. Don't do that. Either they're too strapped in debt to be able to have extras, or they don't practice faith in their giving. I want the Lord to increase my faith so that the gospel can continue to be preached in the regions beyond. Amen? God wants us to live by faith. Secondly, God's word describes a promise by faith. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 1, 1 Samuel chapter 1, God's word describes a promise by faith. Look at verse 11, 1 Samuel 1, beginning in verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house of Ramah. And Elkanah knew his wife, Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. What an amazing story. You are familiar with it, I'm certain. How Hannah was barren and desired a child, and how the Bible says that she had bitterness of soul in her heart, and she prayed unto the Lord, and she wept sore for a child. And then we get to verse 11, and the Bible says she vowed a vow and said unto the Lord, If thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. What an amazing story here. She vowed a vow and she said, If you'll provide what I desire, I'm going to give him back to you. Notice the demonstration of her faith here, that the Lord was going to provide. Because in verse 10, the Bible said she had bitterness of soul, and she prayed unto the Lord. But by the time you get to verse 18, after she's prayed to God, the Bible says, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went away, or went her way to eat, and her countenance was no more sad. She knew that the Lord was going to answer this. When it comes to evangelism, we will often make a faith promise to the Lord. For example, we might say, Lord, there's this ministry or this thing that we desire to do for you, but we can't in and of ourselves do it, and we pray all the time, Lord, you've got to work in us and through us because we're incapable of doing this thing. And we're going to step out and we're going to plan to move forward to do this, believing that you're going to provide and that you're going to do all that we can't do. We've been praying this same prayer over and over again regarding ministry to natives in Alaska. We're making a faith promise to the Lord. Lord, we're ready. We want to walk through this door. We want to preach the gospel in the regions beyond, in these places that are remote. We know that we need to preach the gospel to every creature. You've given us this job to do. But Lord, we can't in and of ourselves. We're not sufficient. Lord, you've got to open the doors. You've got to work in and through us. We often make a faith promise in regards to evangelism. Well, faith promise giving says simply, Lord, what would you have me to give to missions this year? I want to do my part in fulfilling the Great Commission to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. Lord, would you lay a number on my heart to give to you? And I'm going to, by faith, commit this to you and to trust you to supply it, so that I can give it back to you. You understand that principle of faith? Trusting the Lord to supply. And Lord, if you'll supply it, I'm going to give it back to you. First of all, God is honored by that surrendered heart, that willing heart. Lord, I want to do my part. I want to give to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, there in verse 12, I think we see this. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Here's the demonstration of the mind and the heart. If there's first a willing mind, a willing heart, it's accepted. It's not how much we give. It's the heart with which we give. And God is honored by our surrender and by our willing heart. And by our faith, the Lord will provide. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." God is able, and God is willing, and will supply according to our faith. And when it comes to faith, promise, missions, giving, let me say, it's between you and the Lord. It's not a pledge. No one's going to come knocking on your door. You promised to give this. No one even knows but you and God. But are you willing to have a surrendered heart? Lord, increase my faith. Lord, I was able, you know, we practiced this last year, and Lord, I saw in my own life demonstrations of you at work, and Lord, I want my faith to be increased. Lord, would you lay another number on my heart this year so that we can have the resources and the means to support and to give so that the gospel is preached in the regions beyond? Do you have a burdened heart for the souls of men that would cause you, number one, to want to be a faithful witness yourself, but then cause you, number two, to say, Lord, the places that I can't go, I can give, and someone else is going to go. Lord, I want the gospel to go forward because I have a burden for the souls of men. God wants us to live by faith. We see that, secondly, God's word describes a promise by faith. And then thirdly and lastly, God demands that we obey by faith. God demands that we obey by faith. We started this whole lesson that it's God's plan and God's ideal that we live and walk by faith. But listen, God demands that we obey Him by faith. Remember in 1 Kings 17, we talked about Elijah. We've been working through the life of Elijah on Sunday afternoons. We'll be there again this afternoon. But remember how God took Elijah first of all and made him stand before Ahab and declare that there's not going to be any rain. He had to obey the Lord by faith because, you know, Ahab could have just chopped off his head right then. But he was operating at the command of the Lord. This is what God wanted him to do. Told him to do. And then after that, when the famine and the drought happened, God took Elijah and put him by the brook Kerith, and he had to trust the Lord to provide for him. And then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, and he said, "Go to the widow of Zarephath's house, and she's going to provide for you there. I've commanded her to do this." Man, on many levels, between Elijah, between the widow of Zarephath, God was demanding that there be obedience, but the obedience had to come with faith. How was the widow ever going to provide for Elijah? She didn't even have enough but to make one more little tiny meal for herself and her son, and they were both going to die. Well, that required some faith, didn't it? And Elijah shows up and he says, hey, don't fear. You go make me a cake first, and then for yourself and your son. She had to obey by faith. God commanded the impossible for her. He demanded faith of them both. And when they both demonstrated faith in the Lord, we see that God provided as a result. Verses 15 and 16 of that chapter say that the cruse of oil failed not, the barrel of meal wasted not, it didn't dry up. And every day, the Lord replenished, day by day, this little meager supply. What a great illustration of the principle. Amen? When we trust the Lord and we obey by faith, God is going to provide even beyond what we can imagine. We don't know how long it was that the Lord just day by day kept replenishing that little meager supply. We don't know how long that was, but we know it never wasted and it never failed. And God always supplied. And it's a great illustration for us of what happens when we give by faith. We're going to be handing out faith promise cards in the next week or two. We'll look at them again to refresh you and exactly how it works. And then in the next few weeks, at the end of September, we'll collect all of those and we'll have time to pray and we'll have time to seek the Lord individually as to what the Lord would have us to do. And we will collect them and see again what we've collectively committed to the Lord by faith again this year. Let me draw your attention back to how we started, where Paul said to the church in Corinth, though, when your faith is increased, will be enlarged by you and be able to preach the gospel in the regions beyond. The reason that we practice faith promise giving is because of missions. Missions is the mandate. Missions is the focus. The reason we do this is to enable God's plan for worldwide evangelism to go forward. And the question is, are you willing to have your faith stretched? Are you willing to have your faith increased? Lord, I was committing to you, promising to you this last year. Is there another number that you'd lay on my heart? Maybe a greater number. That's between you and the Lord. But either way, are you willing to have your faith increased, your faith stretched, so that the gospel can move forward? Faith promises missions. God will provide, God will supply, we'll see the work of the Lord increased. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for principles that show us again how faithful you are. Even when we are not faithful to you, Father, our blessing is that we have a God who doesn't necessarily bless us based on our performance. Lord, you're always faithful. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be more like you in this area of faithfulness. Lord, to live and to walk by faith, to allow you to increase our faith, to stretch our faith, and to be able to see the blessed result of what happens when people live and walk by faith. And the Word of God is full of examples for us to show, Lord, you never fail. Lord, you never don't keep your promises. And the Word of God tells us that there hath not failed one promise of all the good promises the Lord has given to his people, his children. And that was certainly in context of the nation of Israel, but the same principle applies to each of us. And Lord, I pray that you'd increase our faith, and Lord, we would have the means and the resources again to give and to be able to move forward in the gospel, to go into the regions beyond. Lord, would you burden our heart for the souls of men? Lord, I don't know what the future holds with preaching the gospel in Alaska. And I don't know what resources are going to be demanded of to do that. But Lord, I pray that we would live and operate by faith and trust you to provide, and Lord, that we'll be able to see the blessed result in the end and give you the praise and the honor for it. Thank you for your people. Thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for the giving heart of this church. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to continue by the grace of God. In Jesus' name, amen.